question today is, how can I reach my wayward child? This is part two of this question. We talked about that on the radio broadcast yesterday, and we're saying there comes a time in a person's life when, as far as children are concerned, when they reach a certain age, you can't discipline like you should discipline. And if you've waited until they're 15, 16 years old to start discipline, you're already 15, 16 years old, years too late, and discipline those children. But there comes a time that they're out on their own. They want to do their own thing, and they're planning on doing their own thing, it seems. And you say, what do I do to reclaim them? Well, I said, first of all, what you need to do is to meet your, claim responsibility where you have failed. And folks, we've all failed. None of us have reached the apex of training our children. Proverbs 22:6, he said, train them up as a child. In other words, if you'll do that. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That means even while he's growing old, he'll not depart from it. So you've got to take responsibility where you failed, and get honest. You may have to confess to those children, and in other words, and you need to not beat yourself down because you have failed, but be positive and move forward. And say, hey, we want to move forward from this day forward. So you need to take the blame where the blame lies. And then number two, we said, was you need to learn to respect that child as growing up and developing a family of their own. In other words, they're their own child, if you please. And we also said number three was you need to learn to wait on God. In every area of life, that's true. You see, some never really learn to pray till their child goes bad or something drastically happens, and then you come to the place to where you learn to pray. Well, see, God's just training is what he's doing, getting you to a place to where you'll be able to help somebody else who's going through the same thing. Number four is recognize the real root cause of that rebellion that's in their life. You see, when a man's saved, he's got the Holy Spirit lives inside that him. That goes for a teenager as well as an adult person. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John, that's in John 10:27. And then he also said in John chapter 16, verse number 13, the Spirit of God will guide them and teach and guide them into all truth. He also said in Romans 5:5 that love shed abroad in the heart. So that love is the opposite of rebellion. So you need to pray for them to be saved. You see, that's exactly what they are. You need to pray that they'll be saved. The prodigal son was lost in the parable. Remember, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And you need to pray that they'll come back. Too many people today are saying, well, my son was saved, but he's just out in sin. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says very clearly, if we're rightly divided, in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9, man that practices naturally sin. It commits sin. That means practice naturally sin, have a lifestyle of sin, and God doesn't chasten him and deal with him, and it won't be no 10 years down the road. I will tell you, he's not saved. And you need to pray. Instead of praying they'll get right, you need to pray they'll be saved. The real root problem, so recognize it. And you need to stay right with God, number five, yourself. That means stay in church, continue your tithing, or the curse will even get greater on your children if you fail to do those things. In other words, you need to stay right. Then you need to stay sweet but firm. Don't compromise. Don't give up. In other words, don't let down your standards, but don't let them do in your home what they want to do, because if you do, it'll affect your other children, and you'll have more problems on your hand. And so, therefore, you need to practice tough love, I guess you could say. Lay down those rules. Be sweet, but be firm. And then number seven is don't let your child pit one another, one parent against another parent. Too many times people have children, and mama will take up for the child and be favorite, have a favorite boy or favorite girl, and daddy will have the opposite and also at times. And they'll say, oh, mean old daddy, mean old mama, whichever way it goes, and say, come to me, I'll help you out. And behind mama's back or behind daddy's back, you'll try to correct the problem. They'll come to you for money, and you're trying to teach them to learn to utilize their money well, and mama give them a $20 bill to buy a sack of popcorn and never get the change back. So, you see, it's sad what people are doing today, and they never see the real root problem of that. And if you, in other words, if you do something, daddy, if you're too strong on your children, even if you are, and your wife thinks you are, wife, don't you tell daddy that he shouldn't have said that to that child, in front of that child. Now, you can get daddy alone and say, dad, I think you, honey, I think you're a little bit tough. I think you're a little bit wrong. Y'all can talk about it. And if you come to a conclusion and dad comes to a conclusion that he was too tough, then let dad apologize to the son or daughter for that. Because if you undermine your husband or he undermines his wife, then you're going to have even greater problems with that child, because they're going to know how to manipulate you and work on you to get what they want when they want it. And they'll do it again and again and again. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. And then when they do go wayward, pray for my child. He's wayward. Well, listen, you've got to accept your responsibility, but you've got to stay firm. You've got to develop some convictions and stay firm, but then you need to come. Don't let one pit one another against another, one parent against the other parent. Now, number eight is keep the door of communication open. That's one of the main things if you want to reach your wayward child. Keep the door of communication open. I know of some people sometimes when a child does something wrong, they'll just won't even speak to them, won't even let the members of the church speak to them. That's not right. That's not right. I mean, you can practice church discipline and even do the right thing with them, even as far as the church is concerned. But mamas and daddies, you especially, God puts you in that home to be a mom and daddy, and you need to keep the line of communication, the door of communication open. You see, if they leave as the prodigal son, you let them know that they're always welcome back home with your rules. Now, you're not going to shorten or change the rules just to get them back. You see, anybody can say, if that's the way you're going to live, I won't have anything to do with you. Anybody can do that. But once you close that door of communication, you shut them out for good, and they're headed for greater trouble. Man, they're going to be in bad, bad trouble. You see, when you cut a child off, you can't help him anymore. I mean, when you cut him off. Now, I'm not talking about bailing out of every problem he gets into. I mean, some people bail them out of jail when they get in jail, and there may be a time you need to do that, but you need God's direction. That's why you need to find God's will in that, because if you bail them out of every problem they come to, they're going to look to you to bail them out of everything. They're going to look for that silver spoon in their mouth, and it's not going to work. It's not going to help them. They don't have respect for you for that. You know who children respect most? Is those that withstood the strongest and the sternest and consistency of discipline in the home. They'll respect them if you'll do that. See, you don't need to cut him off. Anybody, as I said, can do that. But once you close the door of communication, you shut them out for good, and they're headed for greater trouble. When you cut him off, you can't help him anymore. Now, don't wait for him to call. You call. Don't wait for him to come to see you. You go see him. Keep the lines of communication open. Let him or her hit bottom like the prodigal did. Don't bail them out every time they need something. Already mentioned that. But you bail them out, and they won't hit bottom, and they won't come back. Even if they say they come back, they've still not come back in their heart. But when they hit bottom like the prodigal son did, and he came to himself. When he did, his friends was gone because his money was gone. He was hungry. The Bible said he would have eaten the husk if he thought it would fill him. Now, most preachers preach that he ate the husk of the corn, but the Bible said he would have eaten them if he thought it would fill him, but it wasn't any value to it. It wouldn't have done it. And when he hit bottom, he came to himself, as the Bible said. And when you let your child hit bottom, they'll come back if they know the door's open. I'm talking about the door of communication. Now, you notice in the prodigal son, as far as the parable of that, notice it was not the father who went begging for the boy to come home. When that boy left, he left knowing that the gates were open. In other words, the prodigal down in the hog pen knew that daddy cared because the door of communication remained open, and he knew that mama cooked. Now, I don't know all that was done. I don't know. I believe he knew exactly what was going on. I believe he probably went by and seen him a time or two, but he told him, "I've still got it. You're going to stay in my house. You're going to abide by my rules." I don't know how far he went or sent messengers to him, but he knew that daddy loved him. He knew that daddy would be there for him. And so his line of communication remained open. Now, you mama cooked, and that's a good thing. You see, that was something that was put in him as a child that started rising up in him again when he was down there in the hog pen, and he came to himself. He said, "I'll believe, I'll just go home." Daddy looked, but he never went. Daddy looked down that way. Now, he might have communicated with him, but he didn't go to bring him back. He knew he had to come back. He never went after him. Now, I'm talking about grown children now. I'm not talking about children that you're in your home, those that you need to practice discipline on and direct them still to the right target, if you please. But I'm talking about grown children that we would call wayward children, whether they're 18 unmarried or 20 and married or whatever age they are. They're still your child. And you've got a responsibility. Be there for counsel for them. Be there for comfort when they ask. Be there when they fall. Let them know you're waiting on them. Don't close that door of communication. In fact, go out of the way sometime to love them. Now, I'm not talking about bailing them out, but just go out of the way. Don't just say it, but show it to them. Go out of the way to do that. Some might say, my child won't do that. He'll never go bad. Well, he may not, and I hope not, but you don't know what your children will do. Don't you ever say, my child won't do anything, because you don't know. Because we've not fulfilled Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We've not fulfilled that. We've got flesh to contend with. That verse simply means train up a child in the way he should go, and even while he's growing old, he'll not depart from it. So you see, we don't know what our children will do, but you can learn these lessons that we're talking about and be prepared to help them if they do rebel. Or when a crisis comes, your reaction will prove more than your action does. And even if you pray for that prodigal son, that God may not change the situation, but He does give grace. And what do I do then when an older child rebels, or a wayward son or a wayward child? Number one, take blame if it applies. Don't justify your action. Takes your responsibility. Number two, learn to respect that child is growing up and developing a family of his own. Number three, learn to wait on God. Number four, recognize the real root problem, which is their loss. Intercede for them. Number five, stay right with God yourself. Number six, stay sweet but firm. Number seven, don't let them pit one parent against another. Number eight, keep the door of communication open. You shut the door, and you'll lose the opportunity to deal with that child. Not talking about compromise, giving in, being soft, or being passive, but being truthful and sweet and loving. The prodigal son had gone a long way into a far country, but he knew that if he come home, that daddy still loved him, and his mama still cooked, if you please. And in other words, even when he was a great way off, the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 14, verse number 20, he talked about the fact that there he was, that while he's a great way off, his father saw him and ran to him, in other words. You say, but my children are young, and that doesn't apply to me. Well, I'm just trying to get you to see that a lighthouse is better than a life preserver. But then we're talking about, you need to throw out a life preserver when a man's overboard. When you got a wayward child, you need to throw out a life preserver to them, but you need to have a lighthouse in their home so that they can navigate the sinful harbors of the world. So it's better to have a lighthouse than it is a life preserver. But when man's overboard, you got a wayward child, reach out for him, keep the line of communication open, and may God bring him back for you for His honor and His glory. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.